I'm Trey Caminiti.
Hey, Trey.
So the topic of this workshop is building a network. Without further ado, I'll give you my good friend Chad C.
My name's Chad Caminiti.
Hey, Chad.
I was hoping there'd be more readings to eat up some time, but...
Prep time's over,
buddy. Prep time's over. Get my notes out.
Sober.
Yes. I heard there was a little bit of a topic last night. I didn't get to make it in. Heard JW went from shaming me to being sober. So. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to do a workshop. And I really appreciate it, and I take it seriously, and it's an honor to be able to do it. Next door, my sponsor is speaking on humility, and they couldn't have picked a better person for that, and probably a pretty good person for this one, but if it would have been swapped, he probably could have nailed this one. Not many that know me would have showed up for that one. So I have a lot to say about it, about building a network. You know, when I first got clean and I came into the rooms, I was 23 years old. I was on a house arrest, and to be honest with you, I just didn't have a lot of other places to go. They didn't have cool treatment centers to hang out in at that time, and this was before the Affordable Care Act, where everybody could go to treatment and get a good rub down, you know, while you're there. So I went and hung out in a community mental health center for almost 8 months and got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through H&I. So my first NA meeting was on a Wednesday night. My clean date's May 16, 2004. And that night, I don't know if it was a Wednesday. I don't remember much. But they weren't really hip on just letting you stay in your room. And they didn't have a lot of cool medications to give me. So they handed me a trash can and said, you got to go in there and listen to them. And so I did. And there were 14 people that came in and did H&I that night. Yep. And every one of them shared a really clear NA message. I'm a white boy from Mississippi. If I have to tell you what that's about, then you're not a white boy from Mississippi or Alabama or Arkansas or Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a bunch of people shared, but the one that stood out was an older black lady. She was a lesbian. She let you know she was a lesbian. And she was from Brooklyn originally. And when she started sharing, people joke about this stuff, but I really mean it. I really believe that she had worked there and looked through my file or something or saw the intake. And I'm like, somebody tipped her off. This is, you know. And within about an hour, I knew I had to make a decision on being a part of something that was much greater than me, with people I normally wouldn't have been with, or die from the disease of addiction. So I walked up to those guys afterwards and walked specifically to her and hugged her neck. And she gave me, as only a black woman with a lot of clean time from Brooklyn who's a lesbian can do, about a 38-second hug. And kept telling me she loved me and we're glad you're here and welcome home and we got a seat for you. And I said, all right, well, just can I just get the address, you know, of where you guys are? I said, well, they'll tell you, you know, you'll make it. Now, funny side note, I remember sitting in the meeting and I looked at this guy beside me, I don't know, a few hours after I'd used for the last time, and said, I think I can really help these folks. And I'm in it. I said, can I share? And thank God this guy said, man, you don't need to share anything in front of these folks, because they weren't really as nice as maybe we are today. And they just weren't as nice. And they would have asked me not to speak, but they wouldn't have said, please don't speak. There's a few things that stand out about building a network in here and beyond. When I got out, I was very fortunate that a lot of Alabamians trekked over to Mississippi on a regular basis. At that time, Jimmy J would come, and I didn't know he was, physically ill. Of course, Jimmy wouldn't tell you. He wouldn't hardly talk to you. And he would come and sleep through our meetings. And I remember asking Linda G one night, I was like, who is that guy? Like, is he homeless? She's like, he's got like 20 something years. He's a member of a survival group. He's like, no, he's not. And Jimmy would wake up and share a little bit and go back to sleep, take up four or five chairs in the meeting, but God rest his soul. So I was super fortunate. My first sponsor was Tim, who's sitting back there. No, it wasn't. My first sponsor was Olin. And I don't know how we stayed clean. I don't have a clue. I can assure you that the grace of God was all over that relationship. So I don't know what happened there, but he wasn't my sponsor no more. And I met Tim. And Tim reminded me of uncles and family and a gentle older presence that I wanted in my life. And he tolerated me for a little while. And funny side note, we worked our first step here. The very first step I ever had. And we could smoke in this hotel then. And it was even called something different. What was it called? I don't know, Holiday Inn. So anyway, we went in there and we smoked 17 packs of Marlboros. And I walked through a first step. He said, I just don't believe anything you said in only a way that Tim can say it. So I really think you're just a legend of your own mind. And I don't believe any of this shit you wrote down. And I said, well, you might be right, but that's what was going on in my head. That's the crazy thing about the disease of addiction to me. Is that I am so ill that what's real and what's not real is way too easy. What's real and what I perceived as being real is what the real problem is. Because I walked through that first step, and I'm going to tell you, half of the stuff I wrote down I really believed had actually happened. And he's like, I just don't believe that. By this point, he had like met my parents, He was like, I'm pretty sure you're just the average white boy, fraternity white boy that used drugs and was scared to go to prison. I'm like, well, I probably was right, and it was. That's exactly all it was, But boy, I had this thing, Well, all y'all have fucking tattoos and Harleys. I'm like, well, I got to be cool and come up with something, you got to understand, Patrick, some of your people that look like me weren't around a lot then, all right? It wasn't. Like, it was like a rite of passage, neck tattoos and a Harley and was kind of in a starter kit, Anyways, I remember being at a sponsorship retreat with Tim. I was super fortunate. When we get here, in a clinical setting, they call it a lifeboat syndrome. When we get here, it's like every one of us wipe the sleep out of our eyes, and we come to, and we're in the middle of a lifeboat that's come to save us. But the people we're in there with, we don't really know, and we don't really mix well. But I can absolutely assure you that if you wake up tomorrow in the middle of a lifeboat, in the middle of the ocean, with no food, no water, you ain't gonna give a shit who's in that boat with you. You better figure it out. And I remember being in a sponsorship, and I remember a retreat, and I remember Tim talking to me about, we were talking about one of his sponsees. And me and that sponsee had a lot in common. And that was in common would have been that we were much different than you. We were either better than or we were worse than. But there were very few of you that we would have put on equal ground. And I remember us talking in depth about this guy, and I mentioned something to Tim about, said, yeah, he just has a hard time connecting with others. I'm glad he asked you sponsoring. And like you do with most of your friends in certain circles at certain times, you just expected a good old cosign and, oh, yeah, we'll move on. And Tim said, well, he better figure it the fuck out. Well, he never figured it the fuck out. And I don't know where he is, but he never figured it out. And, you know, when I realized that, you know, when I got here, I was in the middle of that lifeboat. And the people I was in there with were going to help save my life. You know, things began to get much less complicated. Not easier, but much less complicated. You know, I'm extremely grateful that I... Here's another piece. Here's another thing that happened here. The people I was going to meetings with believed in asphalt recovery. They got in their vehicles and we went lots of places, at least once or twice a week. We didn't go, we didn't pour a cup of coffee and sit down and, you know, just wiggle wonkle and then get up and leave. We got there early, we got to know people, we did the meeting, we prayed, then we stayed, and we didn't get home till 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning, even when we had to work the next day, because we knew that that was really important, was to build those connections, and was to have a network of people. And just thinking back on that, like, all there's a lot of people that aren't with us anymore. Gary G., Stanley, James Nathan, you know, they just say, get in the car, let's go. And we would go, and we went. And we have a lot of funny stories about that. And so we went. There are a few things that over time I have learned about building a network in here and beyond. In the very beginning, it was all about quantity. I wanted to know as many people. It was like throwing a bunch of people on top of a funnel. Well, what happens in a funnel? Naturally, it starts out big, but it goes like this and it gets thinner. Now, what I'm about to share, if you don't like it, please throw it in the category of Chad's opinion, okay? Because our founders would probably ask me to leave this stage because they were hippity-dippity and doing shit out of whatever it was they were doing. I don't know. Y'all got cool stories about all that stuff, Ryan. I don't know what they're doing there. A bunch of cool stuff, and everybody was kumbaya, and that's what I hear, and, you know, together and all this shit. But here's the deal. People go on top of a funnel in my life. But the reality is there's only a certain few that are going to come out the bottom. You know, my granddad used to say, if you show me your top five people in your life, I'll show you your future. Boy, was he right. You know, there's a coach that you guys like a lot over here that says it this way. High achievers don't like mediocre people, and mediocre people really don't like high achievers. If you're in this room, you're probably a high achiever. Or that room. Or here, right? And so what I've discovered over time is that I'm not as concerned anymore about the quantity of my network as I am about the quality of my network. You know, when I first got here, people would say, run with the winners. I'd say, what did that mean? And everybody had a different definition. And I'd run with somebody that was qualified in this person's book as winner, and I would say, no, I don't think that's what I would classify as winner. So I'm going to find somebody else that they call a winner, and I'm going to see what they're doing. And that's what I did until I found my definition of what I considered to be the winners, and I found that tribe, and I moved and grouped with them. Much like Jeff Foxworthy with If You Want to Be a Redneck, I have some funny little, I have them written down, but I didn't bring it because we don't write shit down in here, you know, something like it. And so, with a God takeover, sometimes I probably need to make notes because it's not God, but there's check marks next to certain traits of people that I don't want to be around today. The first one is, man, that guy's just so lucky, guy. I stay as far away as I can from, man, look at Cola. He's just so lucky. He just got lucky. I stay away from that guy. I stay away from, well, they didn't really earn it, guy. I stay away from that guy. Because my experience has been, when I'm surrounded with that in my life, I'm going to 100% become that. And then I start building in excuses internally for why I can't do and achieve certain things. So, you know, I want to know as many. There's probably not a person I'm going to walk through this convention and not know. There's some, if they're new, generally speaking, for the most part. But you know, I think there's a big difference in having a network of people that I can pull on when I need and having a network of influencers in my life. And so I choose to pay attention to the bottom of the funnel a lot more than I do the top of it. Because I think that, for me, that's what's important in my recovery. I got really fortunate to have been in the sponsorship family that I got invited to. We have retreats every 6 months, and as a result, I've been able to build some really, really incredible relationships that have contributed to the bottom of that funnel. Some haven't. Most have. And what's really cool is watching the new people come in and that starts to click with them. I love watching new people at the top of that funnel. And they're peace, love, and you, and yeah, and come on, and we're just, you know, kumbaya fucking ya. And then over time, that thing starts to narrow down because they start to practice some principles, get to know themselves a little bit. And for me, all the things that started to happen in my life as a result of recovery were honestly just things that I had actually been taught as a child. It just reverted back to that. Every little thing, oh yeah, my mom said that, my dad said that, my granddad said that, right? You know, I think that I also want to point this out. There's going to be times, there's times in my recovery where I've been highly disappointed with my network, as they should have been with me. There's going to just be people in that disappoint. They just do. Because people handle things in different ways. Let me give you an example. My mother passed away in October 25th, and I was super fortunate to have been able to spend 45 days every day. I was there with her in the hospital, and so it was really beautiful. We were there the night she passed, so that was great. But, you know, some of the people at the bottom of the funnel I never heard from. Understand something. This isn't me. I'm sharing my experience with you because that's going to happen. there's certain people that were at the bottom of that funnel that I never heard from, but what I have to understand is that people deal with things differently. They just do. You know, we have a dear friend, my God, we have a bunch of different, we have had so much death in our area, guys, and I'm not talking about just from drug addiction. I'm talking 15, 16 deaths. Not my uncle's brother, second cousin, first roommate, brother, sister, grandmama, granddaddy, ancestor, Californian brother. I'm talking about, I know their ass, a few of them I officiated. It's been crazy. But the learning experience for me has been watching how they handle that. And some just handle it different. They just do. The moral of the story for me is that I had to realize some people are just going to handle that differently. I'm going to share a Jim G story. Everybody's got a Jim G story. And I want to tell you when I healed from my mother's death. And it was almost immediate. We were at the sponsorship retreat, and we were about to start a workshop, and Jim stopped everything to talk about my mom and have a moment of silence and do that whole thing. And I don't know if he knew what he was doing at the time. But what he did is he brought on immediate healing for me. I don't know why. I don't know how. It might not have happened for you, but it did for me. And I had to tell JW to chair the meeting because I'm falling apart. And, you know, but that was incredibly cleansing, and it was a great moment. And I am really appreciative of you, Jim, for taking time to do that. Because we never know, guys, what that's going to mean to somebody. You know, what I also have to realize about the bottom of my NA funnel is that we are some extremely selfish, self-centered human beings that have to really, 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 really try hard not to be. Really try hard. And so that's some other things that I have to take into account and to think about. And I am at the top of that list. It's so funny how the things that I observe come naturally to the non-addict, how we have to work so hard to do, you know. Sometimes I'll spend 30 minutes to an hour each morning kind of to myself before I am able to engage at all with humans. And I'll get halfway through the day and think, well, damn, that wasn't long enough. I need about 7 hours to prepare and an hour to engage, you know? To be a friend, I need to be a friend. To get a friend, I need to be a friend. And I have to remind myself of that on a regular basis. If I want a friend, be a friend. If I want somebody to reach out, reach out. The St. Francis prayer says, seek not to be consoled, but rather than to console. Seek not to be understood, but to understand. Yeah, fuck that, man. I don't want to do that. I want you to understand, you know? I learned to, branching out of here a little bit here, but this is a really cool story. My son taught me this. He's married, and him and his wife were having this discussion the other day. And he said, yeah, I told her finally. I said, Jesse, no, I don't think you understand. I think if you understood what I was saying, that you would realize what's going on. And she said, oh, no, I understand. Would you like for me to repeat it to you? And he said, sure. She said, is that it? He said, yeah. He said, no, I get it. I just don't fucking agree with you. I was like, there are a number of conversations and long, resentful things I've had because of a lack of understanding. You know, and she's like a healthy, non-addict person. No, I completely get it, Terry. I just don't agree with you. And that's okay, right? Like, wow. Blew my mind, you know? Like, so side note. I've built networks in other ways. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life. And as a result, you guys have taught me how to do a lot of things. You guys have taught me how to be in business meetings that are intense. You guys have taught me how to speak in those business meetings of which are intense. You've taught me how to be quiet in those business meetings which are intense. But you did also teach me how and who to recognize at the bottom of that funnel, even in the business world and otherwise. Even in my professional life, I used to be really, really quick to want to know everybody, want to do this and be seen and all this stuff. And it didn't take me long to realize the bottom of that funnel is just as small, and there are very conditional relationships. You see, when I come here, this is as unconditional as it gets, because we're in the middle of the lifeboat. And quite frankly, we really don't have an option if we want to stay clean. But in other areas, I've learned it's okay to have conditional relationships. And that, many times, those conditional relationships, after a while, either become unconditional or they go away. And either one of those is okay. I used to get really, really, listen, if at your job or so, whatever, I used to get take stuff really personally about relationships. Oh, it's about relationship. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about doing business. That's what it's about. It's about making money. That's what it's about. In the business world, in that realm, that's what it's about. And, you know, over time, I realized that, you know, I can't have a rooftop vision with a basement mentality. I can't have a rooftop idea of what my recovery is going to be. Kenny C. used to say it like this. There's a lot of people around the program. There's a lot of people in the program. But the bottom of that funnel will be the people that are of the program. It's in their blood. It's ingrained in them. They're not just showing up to put on a show or to wave a flag or to say, hey, here I am. I've done that. But it's the people that consistently stay in the trenches with me on a regular basis, unconditionally. That's what's important to me. I've given everyone at the bottom of that funnel every reason in the world to not be a part of my life. And you guys keep sticking around anyways. I've given other people reasons and they don't stick around. That's what you call conditional. Unconditional and conditional. And fortunately, I've been able to compartmentalize the two and move forward. I think that for me, sponsorship's the foundation of all of it. It just is. You know, it's very, very challenging. When in my home group, if I'm ever asked to, hey, will you explain sponsorship? I say, you have to get a sponsor. If you don't, you're not in the program. Thank you for letting me share. You're just not. And if you don't believe me, don't get a sponsor. And keep coming back. And then come back again. And then come back again. And so for me, that's the foundation of developing the bottom of that funnel, is the sponsorship. Listen, the reality is in the middle of that lifeboat, there's going to be a standoff a time or two. There just is, right? Because we're trying to get there, man. We're trying to get to shore. So there's going to be a standoff or two. But as long as, you know, as long as we keep paddling. I guess that's what matters. I don't have a lot more to share on this. I don't think there is any more to share on it as it pertains to Narcotics Anonymous. Love you guys. I love this convention. Man, I'm looking around the room. The first one I ever came to was, who was the guy that did the Elvis impersonation?
Jerry Russell.
Yeah. And I know there's history workshops that are done, but I wish at some point during these history workshops, somebody would do a deep dive into the history of this convention, because it's been very important. It was very important to me. I've missed one. And I missed it because I got resentful that somebody stole my suite. There's some people that will remember that.
Who did that?
Well, that's not that important. But anyways, but it's an incredible convention. I hear JW did a really, really good job last night. You talk about the bottom of the funnel. He's all the way through. And that's the people I want to be like. That's the people I look up to, are the people at the bottom of the funnel. And I hope that if I keep coming back, I get to be at the bottom of your funnel one day. I love y'all. Thanks for letting me share.